Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the mid-Michigan Saginaw area. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is truly our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio program to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community at large. So we are very, very glad that you're listening in to the show today and that you continue to be in support of Adoption Focus Podcast. I am super happy that we were able to rebook last week's guest. We had some technical glitches last week before us, and it was a great topic about China adoption, and we missed that last week. So I want to welcome this week to the show, Marie. I believe you're on the line with us.
I am. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. And for those of you that are listening, Marie and I felt like we had conquered a feat within itself just in getting connected today after our hiccups last week. So we are both happy to be here. The topic of today's conversation is not as scary as it sounds, a heartfelt conversation about adopting from China. And we appreciate you, Marie, for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here this morning.
So you and your husband began your adoption journey in 2013, I believe, pursuing international adoption. But it was in 2015 that you made a switch of countries. Is that right?
That's right. We began with the Ethiopia program, and then just kind of a long story, but there are a series of different things that came up, and just the Lord's leading. We did ultimately end up in January of 2015 switching to the China program.
And you and your family began eagerly anticipating the adoption of a child from China at that point. I'd like for you, if you could, to share what it was like getting the call from the agency about a little girl who needed a family.
Absolutely. You know, in some ways it was a long time coming because we had been in the process for so long. But then at the same time, we kind of got to experience the best of both worlds because we had waited a long time, but we had only waited about 48 hours in the China program. And so our caseworker and great friend said, keep your phone on a Friday afternoon. And my heart started racing. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, I'm not going to call you in the middle of the night, but, you know, keep your phone on. And so it was about 48 hours later on a Sunday evening. I was in the kitchen cooking, and it was after church. And my husband was still next door at his office. And I get this call, and there's only one person that calls me from Michigan. So I took a breath and I answered it, and I just couldn't believe it. And she says, I have a little girl I'd like you to look at and read her file. And so I got off the phone, and she said she was going to email it. And I called my husband and I said, you need to come home. He said, why? And I said, you know why. And I'm so thankful he was next door, because if I had to wait much longer, I don't know if I could have waited for him to open the email. And so we did, and, you know, just saw her face and fell in love instantly. And it was just no amount of hearing other people's stories or, you know, watching videos that people share will prepare you for how you're going to feel in that moment. And it was absolutely incredible.
Oh, that's so special. And it was so in November then of 2015 is when you brought your daughter, Wynn, home. What was her adjustment like to you, to her new home, to her family? Tell us about that.
you know, the time that we spend in China, we were in China for about 17 days, like 15 of those were with Lynn. And our time there is so special because you're cut off from everything, which is kind of nice in a lot of ways. And you can just, you're busy with appointments, but you can start focusing in a lot of ways on building relationships then. But then in a lot of ways, you're also kind of in survival mode because you've got this brand new kiddo and you're in a foreign country. So when we got home, we cocooned, you know, in the adoption world, people know what that word means. And so we stayed home and we set up a lot of boundaries, and we did that very intentionally and just spent time playing with her and loving on her and letting her feel safe and showing her that we were going to meet her needs, all the things that you're taught to do. But when it's actually playing out, I think it makes even more sense. And we had the most supportive friends and family. They understood the boundaries we had put in place. They didn't just respect them, but they were thankful for them because they knew how important this was for her to bond. And I think it worked. I credit a lot of the success we had with her feeling safe and attached to that time period. And something that I would love to share, it was just the sweetest thing. Mm-hmm. My parents are just amazing. And I'll never forget, it was several months after she was home before they ever held her for the first time. And I will never forget the look on my mom and dad's face. My dad held her first. It was just one of those things where she was reaching toward him, and I said, "Hey, it's okay." And you should have seen his eyes. And then when my mom held her for the first time, I could tell she wanted to just sob and squeeze her probably. But, you know, she kept it cool because she didn't want to startle her.
Yeah.
But you should have seen the looks on their faces. And it was absolutely precious. But she did. She bonded well. And we have a daughter who's about 2.5, 3 years older than her. And I think that helped her transition and feel safe because she saw, okay, well, these new people are loving Anna, and so they're going to love me too. And I think that helped greatly with her transition to our family.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I appreciate you talking about cocooning too. That is an important topic in international adoption. And there's more information available to our listeners who want to research kind of what that's all about. But moving on here, Marie, in our discussion, I know that Wynn had some medical needs, so this adoption was considered a quote-unquote special needs adoption. Will you talk about your initial thoughts and feelings about that term, special needs, and how you and your husband came to make a decision to adopt a child who had some unique medical needs?
This is always one of the hardest questions and the most rewarding questions when we get into this subject, because it's hard because we're almost we all are almost ashamed of our thoughts. It's not that we ever looked down on anyone who had special needs, or that's not the family we were raised in. That's not the family we're raising up. But I think, for better or worse, society kind of shapes some of your views. And we were very intimidated by the idea of being parents to someone with medical needs. We didn't feel that we were equipped enough to do that. And I guess in some ways you're not always equipped to deal with different things that are put in your lap, but it doesn't mean that you say no to those things. And so as we were just looking at the possibilities of what our family would do moving forward with adoption, for us, the Lord really opened our eyes to the fact that it didn't have anything to do with us. It had to do with the fact that He was going to provide, and that there was a little girl who needed a family, and we wanted to grow our family, and that's all that mattered. And so we just kind of jumped in, and we were definitely intimidated, but as we moved forward, our eyes were definitely opened to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So I think you are a lot like what we hear from other families is, you know, when we start hearing from adoption agencies about special needs adoption or medical needs, it's overwhelming and it's intimidating. And quite frankly, it is scary. And, you know, kind of one of the things that I learned from you, Marie, as we were preparing for today's podcast is that it did feel scary to you. And that's how we came up with this topic of the title of our show today is Not As Scary As It Sounds. And it comes right here from this discussion that we're having about at the onset, this felt big, bigger than you, bigger than your husband and more than you can handle. But then you later came to a kind of an understanding that maybe we can do this after all. You didn't feel equipped. Is there something that you did, something that you read? How did you get to a place where you thought, sure, this is new territory. We've never been down this path, but we want to try. What was that like for you? How did you go from scared and intimidated to, sure, let's give it a shot?
Honestly, I mean, there are definitely steps that we took, and I would love to explore that. But for our family, ultimately, I can't put a finger on anything tangible or specific other than the fact that God just opened our eyes to it, and we felt peace that we had never felt before. And so I sat down with this list of possible medical needs. And that's the other thing. You hear special needs and you hear medical needs and you're getting a file that for better or worse does not give you a clear picture of this amazing child, because they're writing up basics. And that's just kind of how that works in the adoption world. And you have to understand that going into it. You're getting some medical information and some basic things about a kiddo. And so, I just sat down and I started researching things and I started looking at what resources were in my area. And all of the fear and all of the wonder about what would this be kind of faded away, because all I could think about was, yeah, there's going to be bumps in the road. Yes, this is going to be hard, but we have this daughter and that's really all that matters. And I don't want to seem flippant or like it's not a big deal, because it is. It's a huge deal, the medical things that you might walk through with your kid, but that's not their identity. It's a part of them, and it's part of their story, and it's an important part, but that shouldn't be the only thing that you see when you look at a child with medical needs.
That's a really great point. It is not their identity. I hear you talk, Marie, about getting the file and reading diagnosis and seeing all of these factual medical things about your child, but you said that's not the whole picture. What part of the rest of that picture did you later find that existed and probably would be the case if they wrote about you in a file or if they wrote about me in a file, you know, all this factual information, age and date of birth and all that.
Right.
But what's the rest of that picture like? And what did you find later for Wynn were the parts that were missing in describing who she is as a person?
Oh, my goodness. She is easily the most animated child. We call her a cartoon character. She is funny and bright and so determined. There were some words used in her file, like stubborn and obstinate. And it's funny because when I saw those, I was like, well, that's interesting. And the doctor who reviewed her file said, well, that's the mark of a survivor. And that could not be more true about Wynn. She is one of the most determined people I've ever met. When something is in her way medically, it doesn't mean she doesn't work hard. It doesn't mean she doesn't even cry, but she conquers it. And just Sunday, we were running around, and she was practicing some new moves with some of her medical equipment that helps her walk, and she said, nothing can stop me. And I said, well, that could not be more true. So there's just this whole incredible creature that you're not going to know about through a file. And that's okay. Like, you have to be willing to say yes and jump in and find out what amazing
the rest
person
of the story
is waiting for you. Absolutely.
Right.
The rest
right.
of the story.
You got the snippet, but you didn't get the whole thing. And you couldn't get the whole thing until you met her and learned who she
right.
is. Her personality. How would you say that this special needs adoption has changed your life?
Oh, I don't think our show is long enough. you know, our families were both fortunate enough to be raised, to be aware and to be compassionate and to care about other people first. And so that was always there, thankfully. But this has made us more so, more aware. You know, we noticed maybe the times that there are gaps in places for children who have medical needs. We've definitely all become more compassionate, even more so than maybe we once were. It's just, it's given us a whole different outlook on life in a lot of ways. And it's made, I think it's made everything a little less scary, because once you're in the middle of unknowns and you're in the middle of medical things and surgeries and therapies, there's a lot of things that become more important. There's things you see that maybe weren't so important in the first place. And so your worldview has changed, and the way we approach life maybe has changed a lot, with just seeing what really matters and, you know, the things that in the end aren't worth worrying about, I guess.
Marie, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
Oh, so sorry. I think we may have lost connection there for just a second, but I was just saying, in listening to you talk, I hear you saying that things in your life, it's like crystal clear, like someone going to the eye doctor and clearing that vision up for you, and you were seeing your
right.
life almost through a new lens.
Absolutely.
So what would you say surprised you through all of this?
This is my favorite question so far. The best way to describe it is a specific story. The day that we met, when they placed her in my arms, which, oh my goodness, you know, those mm-hmm. feelings and everything you imagine there, it's more than you could ever imagine. But from the moment I held her, I knew she had a lot more medical things going on than what had been diagnosed. You could tell just based on what was in her file and then what I was seeing. And so I began thinking, okay, what is this going to mean? And you're a new mom, you're nervous, you have a room full mm-hmm. of people watching you. And so, you know, that's just such a scary moment, thrilling, but definitely still a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was basing just what I was feeling and what I had read in the file, and so that's what I was kind of basing my approach with her on. And I instantly saw that she was far more capable, and I think that you would find that with most kids. They are, who maybe are born with a medical need, they are so capable and so much stronger. I was trying to help her with a cup of water, and she was getting very frustrated, and you know, I have no idea what's going on. And finally, our guide and our translator says, she's trying to tell you she can do it herself. And I said, oh, okay. And she could handle it completely. She couldn't walk. She was a little, almost 2.5, and, you know, couldn't walk on her feet, but she would run on her knees as fast as a kid could walk on their feet. So she had found ways to make the world work for her. And she still does that. If there's something in front of her, she says, well, let's just find a way to make it work. And she does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge part of why she's as far as she is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would say what surprised me is these children are far more capable than we could imagine.
The adults of the world didn't quite give them enough credit, right?
Absolutely. And I think that continues to be the case when you have a kid. And yes, you know, you have a kid that's got this visible medical need, or maybe even one that's not visible, but and you learn about what their need is, and so you automatically start thinking, okay, what do they need, and how can I help them? And that's a good thing, but I think we need to step back and give them a little space, and they'll probably surprise us with what they're capable of. Because it's not something that gets her down. She just, this has always been part of her life, and so she has found ways to make it work.
Absolutely. So as we begin the approach at the end of our show, I wanted to ask if you would please share what life is like now for you, for your family, and for Wynn.
Absolutely. Life is busy because we have an almost 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. but life is, medically, she's doing incredibly well. We have this amazing team at Shriners Hospital, and I will never be able to say enough good about them. Her surgeon never, she never said, oh, she won't walk, but she also didn't give me false hope. When we first started her medical journey, she said, I don't know what Wynn will do, but I'm going to give her every tool available to help her be, the most productive version of herself. But when we were at our checkup just a couple of weeks ago, she told me, I didn't expect this much progress this soon. She is an incredibly determined little girl. And so medically, she's just, she takes every challenge and we work through it. And sometimes we cry through it, but we get through it. And as far as our family, I don't want to paint some rosy picture, because yes, there are days that it is hard and there is still grief and there is still, things that we're all processing. And so sometimes we just kind of go back to the basics and we remind her and everybody else in the family that we're family and we stick together and we answer questions and we give hugs. Just sometimes we might even cocoon for a week or two to reset our clocks. But in general, things are going really well. And when we have those bumps in the road, and they're going to come and they're going to keep coming, it's not like you get to a point with adoption where everything's just suddenly fine. I think things get better, but you're always going to have things that you're processing and understanding. And so we just try to continue to provide that support and remind her that, she can ask us things and we'll talk about them and we'll sit and just hug or cry when maybe we don't understand something, and that's okay.
That's awesome. And, I think that's what we all want to strive to do as parents, whether it's through adoption or biologically or domestic, international or international adoption, that, resetting, loving, being there for one another and focusing on your family. And I think that's an awesome reminder for all of us, Marie. And again, I very much appreciate your time and you opening up and telling us some of the details of your family story and your adoption of Wynn. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Absolutely.
For those of you that are listening and are interested in learning more about Adoption Associates adoption programs, we would love to hear from you at 800-677-2367. Remember that we are live every Tuesday at 11. Hope that you can join us next week. We'll be talking with a mom and her daughter about adoptive parenting during the teen years. That's a new topic that we'll be exploring. You can also connect with Adoption Associates through the web at adoptionassociates.net. Thanks again today for Marie. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a fantastic day.